Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. This is the year-end kind of perspective. This is where we get into creating effective goals. And anybody that is success-oriented should be taking assessments on, you know, how you're performing, what you're doing, and so forth, so that you can make adjustments. I mean, if you can't do that on a monthly basis or dynamically, or, you know, and sometimes there's certain things you can make those types of changes, but other things that really require some significant efforts and so forth and planning and all of that, then maybe you need to sit down and create a strategy. You need to create goals and then map out what you have to do to accomplish those goals. So we're going to talk about that today. But because this is kind of like that year-end resolution perspective in looking at what we are doing with this show, we're trying to move and we're trying to innovate in providing you with, you know, spot-on content and not trying to get caught up in the melee of the pandemonium or the distraction that we're constantly being bombarded with regarding the news cycle. I keep on seeing all these different, you know, I'll call them grapefruits. That's a Jerry Doyle-ism. He passed away. He died too young, but he was a guy that really understood the fact that there's the majority of everything you're tuned into, whether it be Fox or even the mainstream media, you're being tuned in and they're playing those things to keep you engaged because these things are just, you know, unconscionable. These things are just, are you kidding me? Instead of actually saying, this is what we have to do, this is why we have to do this, and so forth. So we wanted to make sure that we're providing you spot-on content, and we want to make sure that we are giving you a perspective so that you can, you know, see what's going on in the news and then realize that your engagement, your taking time to understand, like the, you know, for the year end, you know, there are things like the elections, there's the things like the impeachments and the hyperbole and the rhetoric that, you know, just is constantly being pushed back and forth by the two different sides. They want you to take sides. They want to divide you, and then once they've divided you, they want to divide you again, and then they want to divide you again, and they want to divide you to an infinite amount of space. And I'm here to tell you that if they continue to divide you and they're continually successfully dividing you, then they are going to win. What we have to do, and we have to focus on uniting, we have to put aside our differences. This is why, you know, there's a lot of people that have a real hard time putting aside their differences, which is why I try to point out that the framers really did put aside their difference. Sure, they may have all been from the same, you know, theoretic race of the United Kingdom. Almost every person living in the colonies, except for the slaves, were from England. And, you know, this isn't just my assessment. This is John Jay. This is even George Washington. Now, there were Dutch and there were other people that made up like Pennsylvania and New York. I mean, New York was New Amsterdam, so that was a Dutch colony. But the English moved in and they took over and they basically made it a colony of England. And the Dutch didn't even put up a fight. I mean, they were just as passive then as they are today. Anyway, the point is that they were still divided. And as a matter of fact, as long as there's a way and an opportunity to divide, that because division is the tool of evil. That way they can, you know, divide and conquer. That's exactly what evil wants to do, is conquer. So they work on how to figure out very, very well in how to divide you with race, religion, and all these types of things. And I'm telling you that if you look at the framers, the colonies at the time, The Pennsylvania colony was not like the Virginia and the Carolinas, nor was it like Georgia. Now, Georgia was like a penal colony, right? And as you move north, it was directly north, it was the commerce colonies. And then north of that, it was some religious colonies, religious freedom, and those types of things. And north of that, New York was another commerce colony. And then north of that were religious colonies. I mean, the Puritans kicked out two separate groups of people, the pastors or their these new ministers rising up from the Puritans, which created two different religions, which created, I believe, New Hampshire and Rhode Island. And so the disparate interest, both on a commerce level and on an economic or economic and commerce and on a religious level, were very vast and different. And as a matter of fact, they didn't trust each other. And as a matter of fact, those were the exact words from Delaware when the bigger states said, "Why, you know, why can't we do this by apportionment of persons?" And they said, "Because we don't trust you. You'll just take over and you'll basically dictate to us. There's no way. We are a sovereign state and we want to maintain that sovereignty." And that right there was the lightning rod that the divine hand of providence inspired Roger Sherman in developing and innovating sovereignty into American republicanism. This is why states were sovereigns and were recognized within the Constitutional Republic as a sovereign body with representation. And when they created the Republican form of government clause in Article 4 of the Constitution, they basically applied that to the states as well. That is why the states were designed with bicameral legislative bodies. And so there's no reason why we have, you know, a Senate that is not representing the counties in the state instead of representing, because if not, then why do we even have senators? Well, let's just save some money and let's just make everybody, you know, two terms and that's it. If we're only going to have apportionment by the people only, get rid of the Senate. Because the whole concept of the Senate was to protect the people of the counties, because the people that lived on the water in the ports and those types of things, their interests were a lot different than those people, you know, cutting trees off the mountains or, you know, planting, you know, crops in the fields and so forth. The county's interest had to be protected, which is why we have American republicanism, dual sovereignties, the sovereigns for the people and the sovereigns for the sub-element of government is what we call it. But that was clearly an epiphany that occurred, and there was no doubt in my mind, because that is one of the very unique things that was created from our experiment in creating our Constitutional Republic, that all of these men, they all attested that that was via the divine hand of providence. But anyway, the whole point is that what we want to do is we want to make sure that we give you this type of content and this kind of information, and then every once in a while we want to, you know, come back and give you some, you know, the old look of the news. And the reason we call it the old look of the news, I call it marketing, is just due to the fact that those stories don't mean anything. Not one of these stories represents the fact that the government is going to fix it. As a matter of fact, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And I can be consumed. The reason I'm going down this diatribe is I was going, you know, I could really be consumed on a day-to-day basis of what the heck is going on. Some days would be maybe a little lackluster, but some days would just be overwhelming because there's just so much crap. And then it just dawned on me, why is it that you allow yourself to put up with this crap? You don't have to. Focus on the task at hand. When you go to work, do you allow yourself to stand by the water cooler and talk about the games and talk about the impeachments and just allow these things to consume you? Or do you actually, you know, put your overalls on, go start changing oil if you're a mechanic, or if you're an engineer, so log in and start, you know, doing your CAD designs? Whatever your job is, are you being productive? Are you allowing these distractions of life to consume you? And if it is the latter than the former, then your employer has cause to look at hiring somebody else. And I'm telling you, as U.S. citizens We have an obligation to fix the problem. We as patriots and as citizens are supposed to be supporting the Constitution, not supporting the news cycle, not supporting, you know, the commercials that are coming in via the mainstream media and so forth. Yours and my, our obligation is to correct the course and to make things right. And the way we do that is by going to our sovereigns and fixing these things. And that's what this show is all about. So I was looking and I go, you know what? I just couldn't do it. I can't do the Glenn Beck, the Rush Limbaugh with a good conscience. I know I'm robbing us of the valuable time of fixing the problem. Rush doesn't have the solution. There's no way Rush would get on board with the solution, because we could actually fix this problem within a matter of a year or two if we focused on the problem. But what happens after a year or two? I have really nothing more to do. And as a matter of fact, as I was explaining to people, really when states start stepping in, when the first state steps in, I mean, I'll still have work to do on the radio. But, you know, the state actually takes ownership of Republic Review. It's no longer just the GR's, you know, hey, trying to show people this Madisonian principle, this principle that's basically baked into our Constitution, but nobody can find it. And as a matter of fact, when people ask, well, where do you find Republic Review? It's not a matter of whether it's in the print. It is the implied those things not delegated to the states are reserved to the states. The states have the power right there over contract and contract law to assert their authority. We'll be right back and getting into the goals when we come back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, so as you know, you are listening to the only show that provides you the academic-based evidence that actually will give us the outcome that we want, because these are academic solutions, and these are the tangible solutions that we can invoke. We have the power to do this. However, power only comes when we exert our intelligence, our information. That's when intelligence becomes power or knowledge becomes power. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. Now, because this is not a marketing show, I'm not going to go through the, you know, things that are coming up. If you want to know what is coming up, you'll need to go to the Red State Talk Radio podcast page on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can figure out, you know, what's coming up so that you can, oh, okay, because we're giving you and we're front-loading content so that as you see this stuff coming up, you'll go, oh, my goodness, okay, like when we're going to have a guest and so forth. We also, you know, I want to do this on a daily basis. We need to start promoting awareness and knowledge and information regarding the Constitution. There's, you know how many people know that only the militia has the constitutional authority to enforce federal constitutional law? In other words, the FBI and all these other agencies that are out doing enforcement of law are unconstitutional. Because they never amended the Constitution, one, to grant them the jurisdiction over those issues, or two, to give them the ability to enforce it themselves instead of using the militia. I mean, I'm telling you, the divine hand of providence is all, or the DNA is throughout that Constitution. Now, so if you want to know what's going on, just go to the Red State Talk Radio broadcast, okay? Today, we're talking about how to set effective goals. We also need to plug our sponsor and let you know, hey, we have Red State Coffee out there. Just go to the Red State Talk Radio, not actually, go to the reclaimingtherepublic.org, the homepage of reclaimingtherepublic.org. And right there, you will find the links to Red State Coffee. In supporting that, it kind of helps, the proceeds kind of help us. Now, there are, you can actually directly support us. And actually, I do receive direct funding. So you can use PayPal or you can send us a check. If you want our mailing address, just send us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We'll give you the mailing address. That way, if you just want to send a check, that's fine. And you can just make it out to G.R. Mobley, and we'll be just okay. And if you want to know where your money's going, because I just received a check, and I'm letting that person know that the money that they've just given me is going to be going to the shipping of sending out these cards. And if you want to see the cards, we'll send you photos of them. There's a bunch of postcards that we're sending to Wyoming because we're beginning our campaign of communicating and educating people in the state of Wyoming. You can be a part of this, my friends, if you want. And I'm going to tell you, if you want blessings, because saving this Constitution, the Lord will bless us, just like he blessed Washington and all of the framers in being able to do what needed to be done to create this Constitutional Republic. So, anyway, if there is nothing more, then let's just dive into how to set effective goals. And so what really helps, and I asked you to sit down and think about what your ultimate goals are. What is your ultimate goal as a man or a woman? Now, some people, you know, they want to go to heaven, you know, the big things like that. And, well, how do you map that out? Well, you have to live by the commandments and so forth. So, I mean, you can do that. But if we get into the technical details of how to expand your success in your profession, you can use the same methodology in improving your marriage, improving your parenting, improving your grandparenting, or improving what other aspects of life, your finances, your social skills. You know, let's say you just have a hard time making friends. There are ways of making changes. Some of these are very applicable, but there's a lot more detail when it comes to a career in trying to become more successful, because there's a lot more moving parts, depending on what you do, of course, but you can still garner what and how to make effective goals by just going through this with us, because we're here to help you become successful. We want you to be successful so that you can actually support us, because if you're successful in the support of us, then we're all winning. That's what we want to do. We want to win. So what is your ultimate goal? Is it, and we're going to be focused again on employment, but is it something that, you know, is a tangible position, like becoming president, becoming vice president, becoming a director? Or is it something more in a technical perspective, like a technical lead, like in some places in engineering, they have fellows, you know, journeyman, butcher, you know, journeyman, you know, in the different, you know, construction skills and so forth. And so what is your goal? What is your aspiration? Eventually, maybe you're doing something that you can actually turn into a business, like landscaping, or again, you know, bricklaying. If you're at the bottom level, you're hog carrying, and you're basically just bringing the supplies to the guy that's building the wall, eventually you're going to get your hands on those bricks. You're going to get the hands on how to mix the mortar and then start stacking and understanding. And it takes a little while, but then your goal would either be a journeyman, or maybe your goal would become, you know, become your own mason, be a mason for yourself, or an engineer and create your own engineering company. I've had a few people that have worked for me that have gone off and done their own computer services. So what you want to do is you have to figure out what that is. And let me just say this. Do you enjoy the work you are doing? Now, I had one gentleman who worked for me. He was a systems integrator. And it's not that he didn't mind doing what he was doing, but he wasn't happy. And come to find out, what he really wanted to do was he wanted to provide compassionate service, and he was that kind of person. So he was kind of attracted to the nursing. And so the guy's name was James, and I've never followed up. I think I still have his email. I should follow up with him, because he went into nursing school. He saved up his money, and he basically quit doing, you know, systems integration and went off to school. I think he had his VA or GI benefits of paying for the school. So I think he was in a position where he could actually do that and then go get a job as a nurse. And I'm just kind of curious how happy he is. I should do a follow-up. But, you know, what's really important is that if you are making obscene money and you're not happy, then your job is going to make you miserable. It's going to give you stress. It is going to have a bigger impact on your longevity, how long you're going to live, because stress kills. I have a brother-in-law that's an anesthetist, and he hated his job. There was all sorts of risks involved. I mean, so the reason he went into this position wasn't because this was something he loved and wanted to do. It was about the money. Anesthetists make great money. But, you know, if you understand what they do, they basically take you to the edge of death, right? So you're borderlining on death, and then they bring you back, you know, when the surgery's all done. And sometimes they lose you, sometimes they don't. But, you know, there's a lot of risk in doing that. And he, you know, as he started doing it, it was kind of neat that, you know, he was kind of like the, you know, had that ability, like God. And he realized that, you know, these are people. These people have feelings. They get mad at him, and it creates a lot of stress. And he was not very happy. And he, you know, well, fortunately, he made enough money to where he could retire early. But, you know, it just takes a toll on you. So if you're not happy with what you're doing, then you need to do some soul searching and find out what you really enjoy. And there are great tests out there, and sometimes your employer will give those to you to find out where you, because in some companies, they have enough breadth that you can, you know, move from engineering to facilities to, you know, something that you could actually enjoy and thrive in. Sometimes it is about the money. Depending on, and this is also goes down to the perspective of the individual, right? I mean, if you're a millennial, then it isn't about the money. It's about accomplishment. It's about teamwork and those types of things. So anyway, you got to figure out where you want to end up in your career that you are aspiring to become, that president or what have you, the owner of the company. And so then you need to figure out, what do you believe you'll need to, these things you have to do or the things you need so that you can achieve that ultimate goal? What are the steps or midterm goals that you will need to reach? So once you have this ultimate goal, you got this on the top, this is your dream, then you have to start creating the steps to get there. So we kind of start at the top and then we start working our way down so that we can then create the path for you. So when we come back, we'll start working on some of these mid steps between you and that ultimate goal or that aspiration of yours. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so I'll repeat the question. What do you need to accomplish to achieve your ultimate goal? And this we're talking about in your career. We'll go through the career perspective. Then I believe you can take this, everything I'm giving you. And oh, by the way, if you want these slides, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I'll send you these slides. If you want me to tailor something towards your organization, I actually do that. So send me an email, and we'll try to work you into my schedule. I'll be happy to come to your organization and provide your organization with some goal setting, how to set effective goals, and so forth. Because as it happened where I worked, there was very few people that had really good understanding of how to do this, even though it was a big part of the culture and they had these really boring lectures. So I ended up doing a lot of these lectures throughout engineering in our organization for quite a while. So in other words, whenever they had new hires, they said, hey, go see GR and he's going to walk you through this. And so they were paying me the big bucks to help people learn and understand what it takes to really, to set effective goals. So what is it? What are some of the things you need to accomplish your ultimate goal? Okay. Well, one of those things might be education, right? I mean, you might be in a career field that actually requires some level of education. Now, it may not be a bachelor's degree. It may not be a master's or a PhD to become a fellow. I mean, you could be in a tech field. You could be a mechanic. You could be in landscaping. You could be in construction or what have you. So some of the education you may need in some of these types of careers might be technical. So you wouldn't go necessarily to your neighborhood community college or university, but there are courses and or, let's say it's in, you know, you've got your own business and maybe you are in construction and you need to learn how to use an application. So you have to figure out what type of education I need. Do they offer this at a tech school or does the software company offer me the education? But you need to get educated so you can use that either cutting edge or that those new tools to help improve. Now you got to understand that this is an investment in your career. Now you got to make sure that what you're doing is going to give you an edge over your competition, or what you're doing is going to help you climb the ladder within an organization. Don't go in, let's say you're an engineer, let's say you're working on computers and systems and you want to get some education and you realize that your nutrition isn't that good. Well, okay, that's okay. You can go take a nutrition class so you can improve, your health and those types of things. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not anything that is actually going to help you on this particular goal. That would be a different goal. But those are the types of things you need to also always consider. How can I improve my quality of life? How can I improve my marriage? How can I improve, again, all of these different things that are a part of your life? And don't rule out education. If you are in business, if you are working at a company, you can always use a business education. In other words, business administration, business management, those types of courses are always relevant if you are working in a company, even if it's your own company, and understanding the accounting, the books, and those types of things you need because you're running a business. In other words, business is life. And I always tell people you never go wrong in taking a business course. And I will tell you this, that I've yet to meet a doctor. Even veterinarians have usually two degrees. They have their doctorate degree in endocrinology or whatever, even anesthetists. And they also have an MDA or an MBA, I mean, not MDA, a master's in business administration, because 9 times out of 10 doctors have to have their own business. They have to understand, how to do their accounting and how to do, the licensing and all the things that are relative to having a business. And so if you're running a business, even if it's landscaping, you should go and get a bachelor's in business administration at a minimum. If you are, working in the trenches at a corporation as an engineer or even as, a floor associate at Walmart, then maybe you want to get some management type of courses so that you can actually start providing input, and helping your manager make better decisions. And then next thing you know, you'll be recognized as this guy's, is good material for a manager and get promoted that way. So there's different types of courses. Some of them are degree paths, some of them are certifications, and some of them is just like, good type of training just to improve your particular skills. So there's skills, technical type of certifications, business degrees and management degrees and so forth, even leadership degrees. So education is a huge role in your career. Do not say, I don't need an education, because that's almost like turning your back on gold and opportunity. That is an investment in you, in making you better. As I'm telling you, if your company that you work for offers you free reimbursement of college credits, if you go and take relative courses. In other words, something that is relative to your work, and they will reimburse you for that cost. Excuse the expression, but you're pissing away good money because that's money that they're willing to put into you. You're just not willing to put the time in. You want to send a signal to your leadership and management that, hey, this guy's actually taking courses. Look at the courses he's taking. Wow. And you will be recognized for having the initiative of doing that. In other words, there's way too many people that, you know, try to take the easy path. If you are, let's just say, an aggressive person or somebody that's outgoing, not necessarily aggressive, but you're successfully oriented, then why would you not take advantage of that? If you believe you're success-oriented, then you need to take advantage of any opportunity for education. So what else do you need to accomplish your ultimate goal? Okay, so there's positions. So you got education, then there are positions in the company. If you have to apply for that position, then you need to start applying to get to the next level. Maybe that position might be a technical lead. It may be a floor lead. It may be a functional lead. Now, what's a functional lead? You have technical leads, which usually gets into the processes of whatever it is you're doing. Functional lead is the actual management of the people on the team. You know, being accountable for making sure that they're doing their job, making sure they're entering their time, getting their training, you know, doing the, you know, the things for the company that need to be done. That's a functional leadership, functional section head, what have you. It means that you have to be a manager of people. So going back to that other thing of education, maybe that management course is people management, people leadership, those types of things. Or maybe it's an engineering type of lead. And to do that, maybe you have to have, again, going back to education, a certain level of certificates. Now, when I say certificates, you know, like network engineering, if you're working on Cisco's equipment, a CCNA, that might help. That's an associate. But a CCIE, or I forget all the different certifications. They have the P, professional, and then there's the engineering level and design. So you have to go to the higher levels so that you can become an engineering lead in networking and so forth. Program management, they actually have program management education as well. So you have to get the education, but then you have to apply. You have to actually seek that position. Now, ways to do it is networking. You tell your boss, you tell bosses of other, you know, sections or what have you. Hey, you know, I've taken some program management. I'd like to take, you know, can I be an assistant to a program manager? Can I, you know, help? People love people that are taking the initiative in doing those things because the companies would much rather, believe me, companies would much rather promote within than going out to, you know, the job market and bringing in managers. Why? Because managers are people that are landing in the middle tier and the upper tiers tend to not have a cultural awareness, domain knowledge, and those types of things. It's one thing to bring a CEO in because the CEO is a different kind of character. But when you're looking at the mid-tiers and the most middle steps of directors and so forth, it really, you really have to have that domain knowledge. It costs a little more money to bring in somebody because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to pay this person cheap. This isn't a college hire. So they'd much rather bring somebody up because they already know you've already got a low salary. They can kind of slowly stair step you as they build you up. It is in the company's best interest to seek people within. Now, if you're the person that's seeking these positions, you're getting the education and everything else, then you've made their job easy. Now they don't have to look for somebody. You're on their radar and they're, hey, this guy wants to do this stuff. When it comes to engineering, I've met many people that want to be locked in their room, just shove the, you know, slide the pizza underneath the door so you can feed them, you know, and as long as you've got the facilities and everything else in that room, they just want to be left alone. But there are other people that are actually looking for opportunities, and there is nothing wrong with having aspirations. There are people that are happy with what they're doing. And again, it's about what makes you happy. Do you want to take on a little more stress? Maybe that's how you work things off. Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the types of positions and move forward on this. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so we're in the very last segment. This is why, to go through this effectively, it takes more than just an hour. It takes a couple of hours. So this is why we're doing this, you know, a day before New Year's, or 2 days before New Year's, technically. And so tomorrow, New Year's Eve, we will actually cover the rest of this. And what we can't pack in, we will wrap up on New Year's Day. Technically, I could actually see this going into 3 days. So we'll probably take the next 2 days in wrapping this up. If you can understand and appreciate the details that we're kind of going through, this is holding your hand and giving you the right perspectives of how you can properly plan to become successful in the aspects of your career. In understanding this, you should be able to then easily translate this to the easier things of life. And when I say easier, it's easier to articulate the path, but not necessarily easier to overcome, because some people just have a hard time in conflict resolution, with dealing with people. So, I mean, so on the personal side, that may be some type of education or training of how to deal with conflict resolution, how to meet people. You can't just be the Hitler of the family. You have to, you know, you have to lead a family if you are in a leadership role, and you have to, if you want to be a leader, but there's already a parent in the family and you're the child, or, you know, you got a parent that is still, you know, the parent of the, you know, even though you're an adult, then I get it. You have to kind of figure out how to help them work with you, because, hey, you're a parent now too. Because I've seen these types of problems. There's nothing wrong with getting counselors, and that should be something that would be instantly put on your path of becoming a more effective parent, a more effective husband, by having counseling. Because counseling isn't necessarily you are a problem. It is teaching, it is educating, it is, if you look at a counselor as a coach, then your whole perspective changes. And that's really what a counselor is more of a coach. I hate the term facilitator. That's usually somebody that's stepping in as conflict resolution type stuff. And so anyway, let's get back to what the positions are. So you've got the technical lead type of position. You have a functional lead type of position. You have in the technical sides, you have the different like engineering lead. So you've got technical lead, which is a very specific discipline. And then on the engineering side, there's a little bit higher step. Program management's a higher step. Architectural lead is a higher step. And proposal type of work is a higher step as well. So once you've started, you know, forging ahead in a, you know, in your company, you know, there's companies need more work, more business. That's why they have proposal groups out there. Start working in the proposals. You know, that's going out and finding job opportunities and bidding and that type of stuff. That is, you know, a business needs all these types of things so that it can keep money coming in to keep you employed. And they need people from within that understand the domain to come up and fill these slots. You could be the one. All you need to do is start investing in yourself, the education for the opportunities to move forward. I'm telling you. Once you start investing in yourself, people will open the doors because they already see that you're willing to grow. You have the versatility necessary to become successful. Okay? So the next step is, what are the steps or short-term goals you need to set to help you obtain that ultimate goal or to help you reach the mid-tier goals or the midterm goals? And ultimately, that ultimate goal. So again, there's the education. We get break that down into the technical training for improving core competencies. If you're working on, you know, if you just started working in a mechanic shop and you're, you know, only changing oil and so forth, boy, you'd love to start replacing gaskets. Boy, you'd love to start getting into, you know, some of the more difficult core competencies. And you may need training so that you can improve your core competencies and understanding torque and those types of things. Technical certifications. Again, I cannot emphasize, technical certifications is the path that we've gone down over the past couple of decades to say, I don't need a degree. All I need is, and I've hired people with just technical certifications. As a matter of fact, I have a very good friend from the Marine Corps. We hired, he had no business degree, he had certs. He understood the domain of networking, and he did great, and he, you know, became better and better, and so he, you know, he's now making good money. We're talking six digits in without even making it, without having a degree. It's all certifications. So it's not that he didn't get educated. He just never went through the formal four-year school. He just went through the really tough technical schools, the CCIE and those types of things. Management. So you got the education, then you have management. You need to learn to become more involved with processes if you want to get into management. You have to start to be, you have to be able to break processes down. You have to be able to look at the process and go, okay, I completely understand this process, and this is a very effective process. Or you may find with newer technology, newer perspectives, and so forth, you can improve those processes. A process improvement is something you have to have a good understanding of. Seeking more responsibilities for management roles is critical. And as a matter of fact, you instantly put a spotlight on yourself and the company when you're out there seeking those opportunities. Because I'm telling you, the company wants to outgrow its knickers. The company wants to continually grow its business to, you know, no longer being a $1 million business company. They want to get into the billions and the multi-billions and keep going to the trillion. The sky is the limit as a company grows. And sometimes it grows in mergers and acquisitions and does a lot more than just what it starts off with. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the top companies, you know, the top companies is a huge conglomerate of making aircraft, ships. The company that I worked for, BAE Systems, if you look, they build computer systems, they build ships, they build aircraft, they build a plethora of different things. And so, I mean, it's huge. you can get into, you know, and that company really started off BAE, British Aerospace Electronics. And so it's not that anymore. It's kind of like BASF. If you remember the old BASF commercials, BASF doesn't make a lot of the things that you buy. They make a lot of the things you buy better. And I know a gentleman that works in a company that pretty much does that. What they do is they make improvements to your chemistry. They make improvements to your products and production and so forth. But that's a niche company. But like with the BAE, I mean, companies want to grow. And sometimes the way they grow is mergers and acquisitions. They bring in something that has nothing to do with what their core business and products are. You go into banking. They'll go into insurance. It doesn't matter. A company can actually continue to grow to become that huge monolith like BAE Systems. It is a globally large corporation. One of the largest. Anyway, so we've got the things that these are the steps, again, that you need to reach that mid-tier goal, which is education, management type of training, management responsibilities, and core competencies. In other words, your skills, you know, I'll tell you one thing. One thing I've realized, and it doesn't matter if this is a small business, mid business, huge business, it doesn't matter. How are your writing skills? Can you write effectively to communicate, or do you send the way you write can kind of send people off the ledge and they get really upset with, you know, what they're reading and how you've written something? That is a core competency, writing, articulating in a very succinct and concise way. Are you somebody like me that writes, you know, volume and volume and volume of explanations and it just, you know, overwhelming? In some cases, that's good if it's on educational. But if you're trying to do, you know, a quick proposal or some quick guidance, if somebody doesn't want to sit down and read 8 pages, I get it. But in trying to communicate the details on an academic level, sometimes you need to go down that. So does your writing skills and your core competencies match your needs for the work you're doing or for the work you're seeking to do? Same thing with technical, management, sales, administration. All of these types of things are core competency skills. Now, I could easily get into engineering and that type of stuff. I will let you look at how your core competencies are, like in computers, it would be hardware, systems, networking, OS, applications, database. I mean, there's all these different niches of core competencies that you can get into. The whole point is that you need to start looking at where you fall in your current grade or your current job performance. And what do you need to do to push that envelope so that you can go forward into the next level, especially if you're doing technical stuff or if you want to do management stuff? You need to start expanding those core competency skills so that you can assume those positions, okay? So core competencies is a very big part of setting effective goals. When we come back, we will actually start driving into attributes and other things and how to set SMART goals in our next episode. So stay tuned, and we'll have this tomorrow so that you can, you know, continually learn what you need to do to create effective objectives. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.